nicely.
So I don't know if you're familiar with that song, Lauren Daigle, but I think it's Daigle, Daigle, however you want to say it, tomato, tomato, all the same. But it's a really great song. I think it'll be even greater testimony too when, you know, it does say you're weak and you need that strength and whatever else. Your church family loves it. You bless us with your singing and it's wonderful. So for those of you who are visiting with us this week, again, short-term memory, my name is Matt. It's good to have you with us. We've been working through over the last few weeks a series through the book of Ephesians. And we've called it Blueprints, and so it's really just about what we have in Christ, who he's made us, who he's raised us up to be. And one of the main catchphrases that we want you to catch on to and be able to go home with are sort of these three statements. That the book of Ephesians reminds us that we are called to a higher calling. Christ has called us out of the world as we are going to share the gospel and evangelize the world in missions and wherever it is that we're going. So we have this higher calling, and that higher calling requires a worthy walk. That's walking the way, speaking the way, treating people the way that Christ treated people and set that perfect example. A high calling, a worthy walk, and if we can accomplish both of those things, we're going to quickly see that that makes us or requires us to live a countercultural life. This is not to just be against the grain and annoying as Christians and whacking people with our Bibles and this silly idea of what the world thinks Christians are, but rather to sort of infiltrate the world like Jesus Christ did. Not going against the grain and being kind because he knew it would make people upset, but being kind because he knew that that's what the Heavenly Father wanted. Treating people with respect because that's not what we always get treated with. You know, sharing life with people, community, friendship, discipleship. And last week I had the privilege, for those of you who weren't with us, to talk about the big word submission. Husbands and wives, children, slaves and masters. So if you're interested on some of the take on that, you can visit our website. That'll be on your bulletins. And I'm told it was all right. It went all right. So if you're interested in hearing that, it's good, because that word submission is so countercultural that it was really a joy to try to get to talk to that. We submit to Christ as Christ submitted to his Father. And gentlemen, when we submit to Christ in that way, it makes it really, really easy for others to follow us in that example. And that truly is what we're called to. And so today, we get to look at Ephesians 6. We're going to start in 10 and probably go all the way down to 20. And this is the classic. This is the armor of God. And I thought, because I do some of the youth group stuff here, I thought it would be really cool that during the sort of the set change there, if I snuck around behind there and put one of those dollar store breastplates on and the Roman hat and came out with this little armor on a really big guy, and it would be kind of fun. But the idea this morning is that this is not physical armor, that this really isn't armor that's required that's going to stop the blow of an arrow, because I don't think many of you are going to have bows that are or arrows that are flung at you that are on fire. No one's going to try to hit you with a sword, I hope. So this physical armor is not what we're looking at today. Today we're looking at the spiritual armor, and so I'm going to read through it with us before we get into it, and I just invite you to read with us. I got to use the clicker. It's going to be on the you got it. I'm not going to worry about that. It'll be on there with us, okay? So here it goes. It says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, friends, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, and against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So stand firm, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And brothers and sisters, pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This is, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. And pray also for me that whenever I speak, the words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. And this morning, might I suggest that we are all ambassadors as followers of Christ. Pray that we may declare this fearlessly as we should. So Lord, as we take a look at this section of the scripture, would we be reminded just how necessary this spiritual armor is for our high calling, the worthy walk, and the countercultural living that that you've called us to. We'd be able to put aside the thoughts of lunch and the busy mornings and getting everybody to church, and we can just meet with you here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ. Spirit, would you be powerful and move, remind us, convict us, teach us, and guide our conversations as we carry out the rest of this morning. We love you and give you the morning. Amen. Yeah, so I've already told you that Jesus has given us this high calling, requires a worthy walk, and that walk will be called countercultural. And as I was studying this again these last couple weeks, I tried to look back through some of the journals that I have, maybe Bible School, Cape and Ray. We go through all sorts of these different books, and I sort of came to this realization, maybe some of you who are like me have been in churches lots. How many of you have gone through a series where you've actually looked sort of in-depth at the armor of God? Maybe a few of you. That's really good, but for my own sake, I thought, you know what, I really hadn't gone through this kind of lesson unless it was like sort of a Sunday school or a VBS where you get like really jacked and it's sort of a kid's lesson. And I think that for me this week, taking another look at how this is spiritual armor and not something that's so physical sort of made a difference in my life these last couple weeks and sort of cemented in just the power and the presence of these things in our life. So this is the statement right here. That's one thing. If I could burn it into your memories, I would leave that with you. But on our next slide here, it says this. Scripture tells us, put on the armor so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. Put on that armor so that you may be able to stand firm against the enemy's attacks. You see, something that I thought was really interesting right off the bat is that so that. You know, it's like Paul is sort of telling them, put the armor on so that you can. Without the armor, you can't. I was scrolling through Facebook, and I asked Marilyn if I could share, but essentially it was this picture, and it's two donkeys, and they're saying that one donkey says to the other donkey, just yesterday I carried Jesus into Jerusalem, and people were putting these palm branches down, and they're putting their clothing down, and they're singing songs of worship, and today nobody even recognizes me. And the other donkey says, yeah, because you're nothing without Jesus. And I thought it was cute, it was correct, and I think that's exactly what Paul is saying here. It's like, put this armor on so that you can fight who? These spiritual forces. It's like I said, no one's going to flick an arrow at you or hit you with a physical sword. It's going to come in some of these attacks. You're not good enough. You can't. God doesn't love you. There's no armor that can protect our hearts and our minds from those kinds of things. We need His armor to defeat these attacks of the enemy. The next slide here, it says in Luke 10, 19 to 20, and this is sort of one of those, if you ever need like a pick-me-up, like I can do this, Christ has enabled me, this is sort of that. Jesus says, I give you the authority to trample on the serpents and the scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Earlier in this series, we talked about when we lay our lives down and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and He fills us with His Spirit, and He enables us with His gifts and His powers and His abilities, and we serve Him, we don't have to worry about stomping on those scorpions. How many people would stomp on a scorpion with their bare feet? No, if you were doing Fear Factor, maybe you would, but you just wouldn't do this. And he's reminding us here, don't rejoice that you have this power. Don't, you know, puff yourself up and walk around like a Pharisee. Walk around humbly like your Lord Jesus, who walked around and confidently went into those hard places. You think of the snakes and the scorpions, very confidently can beat these things because of the power that was in him and because they know that they are seated with God in the right hand of heaven. This is where their treasure is, and this is how they can walk so confidently. So in Ephesians, we've looked at this. We've seen what we have through our relationship with Christ. We've received forgiveness, which no man could give us, only through God and his Son. We've been brought to life in Christ, we see again in 2:13. And now Christ Jesus, who you formerly were far off with, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And we get to celebrate that a little bit today. Jesus made himself near to us by coming to us, dying on a cross, and bringing us near to him, bringing himself near to us. Not by our own merits, but by what he has done. And I think that's a really great gospel message. I mean, you could stop right there and we could say, hey, this is a powerful thing that we've been given. And for me, I thought, I was a little discouraged this week when I thought, how come nobody's really hammered this armor of God into my life? Like, I could stomp on some snakes. Like, I can do that. You know, and when those snakes and those hard things come at me, now I know I've got this confidence in Christ. And throughout the Gospels, we see we've been instructed on how we need to act in our character, how we need to engage the world, being filled with the Spirit so that we can discern what God's will is for us. Just in the last chapter, remember, the greatest thing we can do is keep discerning God's will in our lives. It's one of the ways that Jesus prayed, our Father in heaven. You know, this is his prayer. So, we know that with the Holy Spirit in us, empowering us to walk, the worthy walk, we can live countercultural and we can do this. That's the good news. We on our own cannot defeat the devil, death, or demons. It's only by being in this right relationship with Jesus Christ, filled by his Spirit, that we stand a chance. And I've often talked with Darren over the last few weeks that this is a battle. It's a war, and we need to be properly equipped. I think that often we just sort of think of life is a struggle. We get through school, and we see bullies or making teams or not making teams, and we get to university, and where do we fit? And then we get an occupation, and maybe it's hard with the boss or coworkers. Like, there's sort of this struggle, but there's another struggle that's happening on another level, where it's like the powers and these principalities and these spirits, they're the ones that don't want the stuff to work out on this everyday struggle level, but they're fighting in a way that we can't see them. And we're trying to equip ourselves with everything else, self-help books, nice readings and whatever else, and we're skipping right over what Jesus Christ has given us. The example that we have, his scripture, that here's your spiritual armor. Here's how you're going to defeat those things that you cannot see, and those things of which man cannot help you with. So the first one, I guess I have a fun little picture for it on the next slide there. It's just sort of the belt of truth, and I tried a few of them. I know that in this time, in the culture, in the context, Paul would probably have been looking at Roman soldiers, so I tried to stick with it just a little bit. But there's your belt of truth for today, a little bit of pictures. But it's the truth. And Jesus says what about himself and being the truth? That he is the way, and he is the truth, and the life. There is no other way but through me. You know, Jesus Christ declares this in John 1:1. He was the Word, and the Word was God, and this is his Word right here. This is what we need to stand firm on, the Word of the Lord. It's got all the answers. It's got everything you could ever need. It's living, it's active, and we'll get to the part where it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So we're going to go to the next one here, because I think that this one, the breastplate of righteousness, is one that I think is so easily overlooked, and I think that I wanted to read some of those other things. These are some of those examples or illustrations that as teachers or as pastors, we think these are things that I hear all the time from everyone across the board. It doesn't matter whether you're 75 or you're 5 years old. These are things that you have heard or have been said to you, or perhaps you've said to somebody else, that only the armor of God can stop. So I'll read them for you on there. You're just not good enough. You're being punished. God has turned his back on you. You don't fit in. You deserve better. You'll never amount to anything. Those things can really crush a person's heart. They can really crush a person's spirit. And it doesn't matter if you go to it might help to see a counselor and to tell them how you feel. This is good practice. A trusted friend who can encourage you. Jesus will always be to encourage you. The Spirit is always there to remind you of your love for him. But if every day we woke up and our feet hit the floor, and we maybe it's silly, you know, youth thing again, but if we have to strap that thing on and cinch it up and, you know, in the right way, stand a little, this breastplate of righteousness, and we can sort of, you know, manly King Kong gorilla sort of, I've got this armor on my chest, and what people say to me, if it's not true in God's word, then, you know, it can bounce off. And it's going to take a little bit of practice. You know, some way that my youth pastor used to tell me, he said, take a rock that's an obnoxious size, but not like too much that you have to keep it in your room, so that every night when you go to bed, you put this rock on your pillow. So that when you want to go to sleep, you have to take the rock off. And then when you make your bed, if you do that, I have wives to do that. And then they put the, and then you, I couldn't say it last week, so I said it this week, but it's not true. Children, you make your bed, you honor your mother and father, and in this we show submission to the Father. Father, Heavenly Father. But then you have to put that rock back on your pillow. Another way that I learned to do that is a rosary. When I forget and I'm not praying well and I'm not praying on a regular basis, I often like to wear my necklace because I cannot go to sleep with it on. So it's just a little easier than a pillow, and it doesn't get in the way of the other 13,000 pillows that I have on my bed, okay? But here's other encouragement. Seriously, and this is why we stayed in this one for just a little bit more. Proverbs 4:23, you know, the words of Solomon, wise man in the Bible. He says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Guard your heart. Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. It's true. Some people, again, these little illustrations, but the other reminders, we do the blinders. My wife taught me, you know, when you're watching a movie or you're hearing the language, you know, we sometimes, when mom and dad didn't pre-watch the movie and there's some smooching or romance or something, you know, shields up, because garbage in is garbage out. Maybe some other parenting skills we have that normally we just wouldn't watch these kinds of things, but this is one thing, right? What is in your heart is what's going to come bubbling out of you. There's another place in the scriptures that Jesus says something very similar to that. 1 John 3:20, another example. For when our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows everything. Have you ever felt condemned by what you believe about yourself in your heart, in your own heart, when you end up believing that you'll never amount to anything? That you're just not worth it, or that nobody loves you. It's hard. And too many of you feel that. Too many of us are living without that breastplate on. And that's the pain that you feel here when you have to try to engage with the congregation and the people here. Many of you are feeling that way. Many things are affecting your heart, and we have to protect them, okay? We've been looking very specifically at this in Ephesians and the benefit package that we're given from God when we join His family. You see, no longer are we just people wandering in the world and trying to find our way in the world, but we're heirs of His salvation. He gives us His forgiveness and His mercy and His grace, and it's by those things that these things start to go away and those truths start to penetrate, that you are loved, that you are good. You won't be good enough, but in Christ Jesus, now you are good enough. He's brought Himself near to you. You know, you're not being punished. You've been saved. You know, all of a sudden, all these things that you do fit in, you have a family, you belong, you do deserve better, and God has made all of that available to you. You will amount to anything because in Christ Jesus, anything is possible, even more than you can imagine, okay? And that's not just in the word here. God gives us His Holy Spirit, the gifts, and all of these other things. And today, we're learning about another five or six cool things that God has given us to defeat the evil one. Like the scripture says in many different places, we believe in our hearts. We confess with our mouths. But it starts in that heart work. God wants our hearts, right? We ask Jesus, even from the Sunday school, we ask Jesus into our hearts. Not our eyes or our ears, we can, but we ask Him into our hearts, right? Our hearts are this holding tank for our deepest joys and our loves. And even some suspect this is where our soul is. We ask the Lord Jesus into our hearts. If it is not protected, it becomes vulnerable to attack. That's why Matt's ragging on the breastplate of righteousness. God's protection for our most vital organ. So, if he isn't protecting your heart against attacks and spiritual warfare, friends, what is? Who is? What is? If it's not him, then it isn't enough. And the good news today is that you can put that on. You don't have to wait until you get out there and stuff starts getting thrown at you. You can put that on every single day and God will protect you. That's part of his promise. There we go. We're past that one. Amen to that. It works. Thank you, brother. So the second, next one we have here is the feet of the gospel. And I know that oftentimes you get the missions-focused piece that says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, Romans 10, 15. In Romans we read, this is a beautiful thing, and I like to allude to because it's probably one of those back pocket things that I really sort of, if I had a soapbox here, I would stand on, that Matthew 28 commission that Jesus Christ says, go and baptize. In some of the older translations and more literal, it's therefore as you are going. You know, they didn't have cars and donkeys and horses as much. You know, it was your feet that carried you through. So wherever you're going, to Sobeys, to work, walking the dog, wherever it is that your feet are taking you, take with you the gospel of peace. You don't get to just put it down. It's not like their shoes. It's your feet, where your feet are taking you. Therefore, as you are going. This means that no matter which way you walk in life, know that you are always called to be always on mission, always on guard for progression of the gospel, especially because you now know that there is another level of spiritual attack that doesn't want you to be ready with the gospel of peace as you walk the dog, as you fight the lines in Sobeys on a long weekend, whatever, traffic going home, wherever it is that you're going to, you know, all of these things. We need to keep in mind the gospel of peace. Another way that we illustrate this is, again, like we talked about, stomping on the snakes, stomping on the scorpions. You think about walking on glass or sharp rocks or hard and rocky ground. We don't want to do this with unprotected feet. The roads we are commanded to walk down will require protection. Miss Lisa's here. She would know. She's done tons of work in Niger. I mean, this is a place that's there's lots of oppression. This is where we are called to walk. There's a higher calling that calls us to do a worthy walk that is countercultural. If you're not finding yourself in situations that require you to rely on the Lord Jesus and this armor, maybe you're walking in too many safe places. I am not asking you to take unnecessary risks. I'm asking you to take necessary risks for Jesus Christ in the way that he's asked you to, and knowing that he's got you. He's got your feet and they're protected. Sounds crazy, but the other cool thing that I saw, you can see in the picture here, you know, if you do some of the contextual reading, sometimes they would do these sort of tacks or nails, T-A-C-K, not like money tax. They would put these nails through so that when the Roman soldiers were fighting in muck or mud or whatever else, you know, if it was just a flat piece of leather, anybody's tried running on grass in a running shoe, right? You're slipping and sliding all over the place. But this is just sort of an illustration of, before Pinterest came along, what an actual Roman sandal would look like. There's some grip there. There's some work there. You know, these shoes mean business. So I put that one up there for you. And then there's the shield of faith, which I think is pretty cool. Again, this is a picture of sort of some of the original armies have used this technique all over the world. But I just thought it was really, really cool that at a moment's notice, if everyone was walking with their shields, they could call out for the formation and they could be an impenetrable fortress. Arrows can't get through that. Swords can't get through that. Attacks can be easily bounced because of its rounded edge and the bump-looking thing in the middle, not the other thing that it looks like, but the bump in the middle. It's designed this way. It's called the scutum. Sheer size. It was about 3.5 feet tall and almost 3 feet wide. Soldiers were afforded a great deal of protection in the enemies because of the slight curve. It can deflect attacks. It transfers the full force of an assault around the man holding the shield. You know, I think this is quite interesting. That imagine if we knew that we had this shield attached on our arm and going into any situation. A battle is very unknown, very unexpected. Arrows can come from any direction. Attacks in the midst of a battle, and it breaks out all around you. And you know that with the shape of the shield, with the design of the shield, this is the best shield you can have, and enemies know they can't get through it. This kind of shield makes the devil have to get really creative in how he wants to attack you, because you are well protected. You can see the attacks coming. You are maneuverable, and it is good for you to use. This shield of faith is our faith. We go in faith. I thought this shield thing was kind of a good idea, this picture, and then the idea that we're a family. We're a group of people. Imagine what it would look like if we were all carrying our shields and someone said, hey, we're under attack, and we could all get together and make this kind of formation. The teamwork, the accountability, all of us knowing at the same time that we're carrying it and we know what to do with it and we know how to properly use it to protect ourselves, protect our friends and our family. It's what faith does for us. It allows us, like the scripture says here, to extinguish flaming arrows. Let's say we come back. The shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Right? I mean, this is what it's designed to do, to block attacks. Again, if you don't have the shield, what do you have for defense? Next is the helmet of salvation. We don't need to talk too much about the little feathers on the hat, but really this is more of a ceremonial helmet. This isn't necessarily one that's always worn in battle, but you get the idea. Here's the scripture that we've attached with it, as well as putting the helmet of salvation on. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing in your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Again, I ask you the question, what is protecting your mind? Is it just when we see something on TV and we throw shields up? Or do we have this spiritual armor that's testing and filtering what we hear, that's filtering what's coming in, that's helping us decide what we let come in? What's influencing your mind? What's controlling your mind? We've even learned further in Ephesians a couple back is substance. Do not be filled with wine so that you're not in control. Nowadays, maybe perhaps it's not wine. All sorts of substances. Could be all sorts of stuff, things that we're reading or looking at, things we're listening to. We can control those kinds of things. And when we've been transformed from the pattern of this world, oh, that goes right in with what we're talking about. We've been given a higher calling. We've been given the idea to have a worthy walk. And lastly, it's countercultural. You know, what does it look like if we're listening to different music? If you've heard of Pure Flix, you know, is it really cheesy Christian music Netflix? You know, is it really that cheesy, or is it something that we can be, you know, transformed? It's countercultural to watch cheesy Christian movies, the B-side tapes kind of a thing. It's really not, but we can't. Didn't go the way I thought it would go. Anybody heard of Pure Flix? All right, you know, so it's good. I'm kind of there. And, I recently my wife and I, we watched a movie, and you thought, oh, this is maybe going to be cheesy. But it was, you know, why is it you need a box of Kleenex, and all of a sudden you love each other more, and, you know, like. I don't cry. She's the crier. No. Yeah. That's a bold lie. Okay, but really, okay, and I'm not suggesting we, you know, throw the tinfoil hats on and avoid mind control, but I do suggest, the renewing of our mind, just like that breastplate of righteousness, when we read the scriptures and we put good in, good bubbles out, this is the idea. Garbage in, garbage out, good in, good. This is the transforming of our mind, the renewing of our mind. Suddenly, all those things that are hitting that breastplate of righteousness are changed. We know that the salvation we have that comes in Jesus Christ, when we know that salvation, we can walk confidently. That goes with our feet. We stand a little taller, boom, we're rocking. Cooking on all four burners, a good friend used to say. So then we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And then I'm almost done, I promise. Because we're going to have communion. We get to celebrate, okay? And it says in Hebrews 4:12, again, some of us will be familiar with it. I didn't put it up there, that's my bad. It says this, for the Word of God is alive and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And the cool thing about this, I could have used the sword, but the cool part about the Roman sword is that it was the sharpest. It was the strongest. It could slice through armor. It could do all of these things. And here, Paul is making a claim that, yes, you have the strongest physical sword that can cut through the strongest physical armor, but I have a sword that is stronger. I have a sword you can't break, you can't make, you can't bend, you can't. Here it is. It's the scriptures. It's alive and it's active. And going through ordination stuff, this was the paper that was really interesting. What are the scriptures? How are they holy and sacred, and how do they continue to... The word was illuminate. We read these stories, we know these stories, but then when God brings those stories to life in our personal and spiritual life, the illumination. This week for me, reading through these things and realizing by not wearing that breastplate of righteousness, things have hurt me. Things have got in, and that's where you get a little emotional earlier, right? Things have hurt me, and you know, God brings that. It's alive. It's active. He brought it to life in my life this week, and I get to share that with you on Sunday morning, right? This is the power of the gospel. It's not just some little book. It cuts us, what does it say? Right to the soul and the spirit. Right? I think that's a beautiful thing. Handed down generation to generation, the infallible, holy word of God. Living and active, it interacts with us in a way that no other book possibly can do, even if it's, you know, a really good book series. But the idea that it's living and active, it sets the Bible above head and shoulders, above every other piece of literature that you could come across, okay? I have other Bible study teachings and whatnot. If you want to go farther down into some of these... Armor of God. I've got some resources here, but I got to ask a couple of questions. Where does that leave you today? Are you using some of these armor pieces? Are you using all of the armor pieces? Are you challenged at all to consider what God's armor could do for you? If you're not already utilizing it, the challenge is utilize it. You know, are you facing attacks right now in your life? I don't know, probably. Can't make statistics, but guaranteed if you live on planet Earth and you want to have a relationship with Jesus, that there's somebody who doesn't like that. Amen. Maybe it's spiritually, maybe it's emotionally. Are you unprotected? You know, you can't leave today being unprotected. You just can't, because that's the fun part about preaching, is that now I've told you, now you're not unaware. Now you're not unaware, and that's the great part, is that now when we realize that there's a gap, like, here I am, I'm unprotected in this gap, and here's God. It's like, well, now I've told you or shown you that, you know, God has made himself near to you. He's shown you how to close that gap. He did it with his scriptures. He did it with his son's life. He's trying to help me to do that again today, bring this to the forefront of our minds today. This sort of reminded me of the story of the worry tree, and it works, I don't know, I encapsulated it for myself, but there's the story of a man, and every time he parks the car in the driveway before he comes in the house, he's sort of, you know, digging in his pockets, and he's doing this, and finally one day he comes in the house and his wife said, like, what is it that you're doing out there? And he's going, well, you know, before I come home, I had an argument with my boss, or I've got this deadline, and I got to hang those things up so that I can go into my home and be the best husband and dad and friend that I need to be. You know, it's this idea that even though it's imaginary, even though we can't see it, this isn't imaginary, and we can see it. We can see the effects of it. So if it means that every morning you have to do, you know, this and you know, tuck your sword in and stick your helmet on, then brothers and sisters, do it until it becomes natural. You know, do it. And then we come to this, that Christ was crucified, and by his wounds, we've been healed. Jesus Christ was resurrected, and the same spirit that resurrected him from the dead is in you, if you've asked for it. He's revealed himself. Jesus revealed himself to his disciples, fulfilling the old law, instituting the new covenant in what we get to celebrate today. When he left earth, he gave us his spirit to indwell us, to empower us, to give us his gifts. He gave us his word to teach us, his spirit to guide us. And why not start including all the time that he gave us his armor to honk and protect us? Like, that's what I'm thinking. We leave that out all the time. And I'm like, man, that would be just so great to help us walk empowered in every single day. So when we've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we accept the filling of his Holy Spirit. We live our lives according to the scriptures. And so why do I notice that we just sort of forget the armor of God? Something that is not just a metaphor. So today as we come to the table, I ask those that are helping to celebrate our relationship that we have with Christ, the life that we have with him now. You can come now so that you're ready when we start talking through it. I don't know what it is that may have struck you or may not have struck you through what I get to talk about today, but maybe perhaps you know someone who's struggling and facing some attacks. Maybe they're vulnerable. Maybe you're vulnerable. I don't know. I can't figure that out. But I know a God who's big enough to protect you. I know a God who's big enough and wants to hear you ask him to protect you. I know that God. I know his spirit. I'm learning his word. I don't know it all, but never really will. It's living and active, so I mean, it just keeps coming to life. Okay, so don't shy away from it. What does that mean? Doesn't matter if you're 80 or if you're 5 years old. Christ is for you. He's not against you. Okay? So today, you're welcome to do this. You have a relationship with Jesus. If you're young, you have children, you can explain to them what it is that we're doing today. This is not just something that... Anyways. So today, I received from the Lord, but I also pass on to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'll ask you, once it's distributed, I'll ask you to hold on to it, and we'll eat all together. But let me just pray for this, and then we'll distribute.